Isaiah 28, and then Romans 7. Acts chapter 2, Isaiah 28, and then Romans 7. Amen. Well, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. The Holy Lord, you would take my words and translate them by your Spirit in such a way that everyone here will receive fresh illumination from you. And would you pray this with me? In the name of Jesus, I've come to receive the word. I open my heart to be transformed by God's word. My flesh will not stop me. My attitude will not stop me. The devil will not stop me. I will receive and obey and be transformed by God's word. Father, let my heart attract the excellency of your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. With your Bibles in Acts chapter 2, we will begin reading in the 42nd verse. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Hallelujah. Our theme this year is continuing the work. And this morning we are in lesson number 2 of the series, Jesus is our standard. Jesus is our standard. Our intent is for us to keep working. The purpose is to establish the church, and our goal is for us to keep moving. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep moving. Gotta keep moving. Can't get stuck. Gotta put your eyes forward. Keep pressing. The objective is, we have 3. The first objective is that we've raised this issue. What is a standard? Second objective is why we need a standard. And our third objective is how to establish and impart a standard. The first objective is what is the standard. The second objective is why we need a standard. And the third objective is how to establish and impart a standard. The what, the why, and the how. We know that our theme, of course, is continuing the work, and we've been focusing on this word continue. We said continue, we defined it to be diligent, to be consistent, to be faithful. We've honed in on consistent, and we've been building on this thought that consistency compounds. Consistency compounds. And when we look into the early church, we see that they were consistent. It said that they continued daily, meaning day after day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and later decade after decade, the early church stayed consistent on some very important things. And one of the things they were consistent on was the fear of the Lord. Says that verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. That fear was not the fear of man. That fear was the fear of the Lord. We talked about that last week. And so we made this statement that the fear of the Lord was a powerful reality in the early church. That the fear of the Lord was a powerful reality in the early church. And we made this statement that the fear of the Lord was a standard in the early church. That the fear of the Lord was a standard in the early church. Last week we talked about standard, and then we talked about the fear of the Lord and how both were evidenced in the life of Jesus Christ. When we defined the fear of the Lord, we said that there are two sides to the fear of the Lord. That the fear of the Lord, it's a reverence for God's omnipotent power, but it is coupled with a loving attraction to his holiness. It's two sides to a coin. And we often get the fear of man mixed up with the fear of the Lord. The fear of man repels you, but the fear of the Lord draws you near. We see that in the early church that there was the fear of the Lord. And it says that there was a collective fear. That it says that every soul, that fear came upon every soul. Every soul. That means the fear of the Lord was in the young. The fear of the Lord was in the old. The fear of the Lord was in the single, in the married, in the senior, in the toddler. That there was the fear of the Lord in the early church, and because there was a reverence, a respect for his omnipotent power, and it was coupled with a loving attraction to his holiness, the Bible tells us that accompanying this fear was signs and wonders in the early church. We said this, that when you have the fear of the Lord in your heart, when the fear of the Lord is the standard of your life, you position yourself for God to extraordinarily demonstrate himself. Amen. Through your life. Yes. What would happen if the fear of the Lord were the standard in this church? What would happen if every husband and every wife and every young person, whether you were a senior in high school or a junior or a sophomore or a freshman, if you were a college student or an elementary child or a middle school student, if you were single or a senior, whatever your status was, but in this church, from the Heart Church Ministry of Chicago, what would happen if the fear of the Lord became our standard? That we would free the Lord's hands to demonstrate his gospel power all over the city. And particularly in the 7th district, the 7th congressional district of this city, that God would find a church that had given herself to the standard of Jesus Christ, that we would say amongst ourselves, we are going to stay. We're going to continue in the apostles' doctrine. We're going to continue in fellowship. We're going to continue in prayer. We're going to continue in giving. We're going to continue in sacrificing. We're going to continue in meeting one with another. We're going to continue to live this gospel as the best as we can. We're not going to compromise it, not going to bend it, not going to water it down, but we're going to listen. We're going to love God. We're going to hate sin in our own lives first. We're going to love to give, and we're going to give ourselves to excellence of ministry in our character, in our conduct, in our commitment to the faith. What would happen if the fear of the Lord became the standard in this house? What could God do amongst us? As this church from the heart worldwide prepares to celebrate 45 years, I'm grateful for a standard. See, you want to be in a church that holds to a standard. Now, Jesus is the standard. Religion ain't the standard. Relationship is the standard. You don't get the fear of God out of religion. You get the fear of man out of religion. What do you get out of, how do you get the fear of God? You get it by relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. But I thank God for a church with a standard. And as I reflect, I realize that there have been four generations of gullings in from the heart. That my family has been in this church for 40 of the 45 years. That it started with my mother and father. My mother and father were celebrating their 25th anniversary, but there was a marital crisis happening in my home. And my family turned from a dead church, a dead tradition. They turned to a living relationship. They had to make a decision to change churches because one had become so steeped in religion that when the pastor of the church began to give altar calls, the congregation rebelled against him. There was a marital crisis amongst my parents. Not only that, there was a family member in my home who was going through significant drug addiction, and I wasn't far behind him. And my family came to From the Heart. It was then under a different name, under a different denomination, but it was the same standard. And what happened? My parents brought us into this church, and then there came a season in my life where I had to return back home. And now, not only am I in this church, but my children are in this church. And not only my children, but my grandson is in this church. What are we saying? There were four generations, right? There was a grandmama and a great-grandmama and a great-granddaddy, right? Then there were parents and children. Now, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But it's been 40 years for my family, but it's been the same standard. Thank God when your church doesn't compromise the standard. Being a part of churches that compromise the standard is a devastating thing. Why? Because when the standard gets compromised, it will cause an identity crisis. We talked about it last week, how Joshua, I believe it was Joshua 24, he came to the point where he said, listen, if serving the Lord seems evil to you, then you got to make a decision. And he invokes the fear of the Lord, and he later says, as for me and my house, the standard is going to be the fear of the Lord. So me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Gotta have a standard. Jesus is our standard. Now we have a working definition of standard. Now break it down into three parts. We said a standard is an authorized, unchanging measure. An authorized, unchanging measure. An authorized, not unauthorized, authorized, unchanging measure. You see, you need it authorized, you need it unchanging, and it needs to have capacity measure. Jesus is our standard. Jesus is authorized by the Father. Jesus is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has an unlimited measure. The Bible tells us that the fullness of the Godhead was in him. Not only that, that he had the Spirit without measure. What does that mean? That means he has unlimited capacity. Jesus is our standard. This word standard, it means a flag. It's a banner. It's a record. It's a this word standard, you can break it into two words, stand and hard. Standard, it really means stand hard. To stand hard. It's the place where you plant your flag. It's the place where you say, I ain't running no more. It's the place where you say, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die on this ground right here. See, standard. It's the place where you set your foot on rock. Jesus is our standard. Jesus is our rock. Deuteronomy 32 says he is the rock. 2 Samuel 22 says the Lord is my rock and my fortress. It also says blessed be the rock of my salvation. 2 Samuel 23 says he is the rock of Israel. Psalms 18 says to you will I cry aloud, my rock. Psalms 94 says, God, the rock of my refuge. He's my rock. He is the rock. Now, as you think about this rock, turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is our standard. The standard is an authorized, unchanging measure. So then you can build on a standard. Jesus said there were two builders. One was wise, the other was foolish. One built his house on sand, the other built his house on what? He built his house on rock. Jesus is the rock. When you build, there's any builders in here or potential builders or future builders, when you build your house, you build your house on something that is proven. You build your house on something that has been tested. You build on something that won't change, something that won't shift, something that is reliable after test, after test, after test. After test, listen, the reason why we are in this building and this building didn't shake or come apart during the rain yesterday is because this house, this building is built on a standard. And that standard is nothing but mathematics. Jesus is our standard. Jesus is your rock. Now listen. There are times when you'll find yourself out of position with the rock. David in Psalms 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I was in a horrible pit. I was in a miry clay, but he heard my cry. And it says he brought me up out of the pit and he set my foot upon a rock. And it says, he has established my goings and he's put a new song in my mouth. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. If you find yourself in a pit, what do? You cry out to the rock. He'll reestablish your life. But if something incredible happens, that when your foot gets solid, it does something to your talk. For some of us, it is time for a new song in your mouth. God has brought you up out of a pit. God has put your foot upon a rock. Don't you keep talking like your foot is on sand. You need to talk like your foot is on rock. You need to pray like your foot is on rock. You need to make decisions like your foot is upon a rock. You need to worship like your foot is on a rock. You need to praise like your foot is on a rock. You need to obey like your foot is on a rock. You need to get up out of your bed in the morning like your foot is on a rock. You need to walk into your job on Monday like your foot is on a rock. You need to talk to your children like your foot is upon a rock. You need to give to the house of God like your foot is on a rock. You need to think about your retirement like your foot is on a rock. Put a new song in my mouth. Why do I sing a new song? Because my foot is on a rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is our standard. Jesus is the rock. I remember when I was growing up, my parents used to send me to a camp every year. It's called Fishnet. And some 10,000 Christians would descend on this farm. And we would live in tents and worship for a whole week out in the burning sun. Matter of fact, it was 4th of July weekend every year. And I remember being raised in the children's tent. Now, it was interesting because Fishnet was it wasn't primarily an African-American gathering. It was almost like a Holy Ghost Woodstock, right? But sanctified. My church at that time, my family hadn't come to From the Heart yet, so my church was an Episcopal church. Not an African Methodist Episcopal church, the straight Episcopal church, the one with Anglican roots. But somehow, my pastor at the time allowed my church to go, and this was nothing but the Holy Ghost intense. It was one of those kind of meetings. And one day, I'm an adult now, my mother was saying, when we would come and get you from camp, you would always sing this song in the back of the car. He's my rock. My rock, my sword and shield. He's my wheel. In the middle of the wheel. I know he'll never, never let me down. He's just a jewel that I have found. And then it will go on, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to praise his name. And it would go on to say, I love to praise his holy name. Why? Because he's my rock. My sword and my shield. When you get that down on the inside of your heart at an early age or whatever age you are in, that he is your rock, he's your sword, he's your shield, it will change the way you talk. Change the way you live. Change the way you obey. Change the way you think. Change the way you see yourself. Change the way you see your situation. When you realize he's your rock, your sword, and your shield, it'll change the way you look at your past. Change the way you look at your present. Change the way you look at your future. Why? Because he's my rock. Jesus is my rock. He's my standard. We said that standard is authorized, unchanging measure. The place where you plant your flag is where you stand hard. Authorized measure. See, listen, the standard has to be authorized. Yes. Jesus is my authority. He's my authority. Jesus is my authorized, listen, unchanging measure. Come on, say this with me. Jesus is my authorized, unchanging measure. Come on, Jesus is my authorized, unchanging measure. Come on, one more time. Jesus is my authorized, unchanging measure. You can build on him, y'all. By way of review, we told you three things last week. We said, number one, Jesus set the standard. Jesus set the standard. Number two, Jesus lived the standard. Jesus lived the standard. And then number three, we said, Jesus empowers the standard. Jesus empowers the standard. What was the standard Jesus set, lived, and empowered? Three things. One, he set, lived, and empowered holiness, number one. Holiness is the standard. Number two, love. And number three, righteousness. Jesus is our standard. He set the standard, lived the standard, and empowers the standard. And in him, we find that he is holy. And we find that he is full of love. And we find that he is righteous. Now, this is all coming from John 17. John 17, Jesus is talking to the Father. And listen, he's not just talking to the Father, he's relating to the Father. And in his relationship with the Father, there are three things that just ooze out of his conversation. It is holy. He says, Holy Father. Then he calls him Righteous Father. And then over and over and over again, he refers to his love. Listen, Jesus is our standard, and the standard that Jesus set, the standard that he lived, the standard that he empowered was holiness, love, and righteousness. Listen carefully, in that order. Isaiah 6. Isaiah is before the throne, and he sees the beast that worship before the Lord day and night, crying out one thing. They don't cry out love, love, love. They don't cry out righteous, righteous, righteous. While he is full of love and while he is full of righteousness, that's not what they cry out. The word that they cry out before the throne of God is holy, holy, holy is the Lord. That's why we said the fear of the Lord is the standard. And Jesus modeled the fear of the Lord. We looked at Isaiah 11, saying that Jesus, a messianic prophecy, that means it's going to happen in the future. But watch this, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he'll do then, he did yesterday and he's doing now. But Isaiah 11 tells us that it says that he will be that the Spirit of the Lord is going to work in his life. What? How? Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of knowledge and might, Spirit of counsel and might, then the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus modeled the fear of the Lord. Now he is the Lord. That's a mystery. So in other words, amongst the Godhead, now it says he's the fullness of the Godhead. So what does that mean? That means he reveals the Godhead to us. And there's a multiple revealing of the Godhead, right? There is an external revealing of the Godhead, right, towards us. But then there's also, it's like a two-way mirror. But then there's an internal revealing of the Godhead amongst his self. I can't explain it, but Jesus was full of the fear of the Lord. Somehow, some way, between the Son and the Father, there's this, listen, the Son has a reverence for the Father's omnipotent power. But the Son is also lovingly attracted to the Father's holiness. But somehow, some way, the Father has a respect for the Son's omnipotent power. And somehow, some way, the Father is lovingly attracted to the lovingly attracted to the holiness of the Son. What are we saying? We are saying that, listen, even the fear of the Lord is amongst the Godhead. And so with the Spirit, we get invited into that fellowship. But the standard help takes you there. That's why Jesus is our standard. Listen, of these three statements, I get fired up over all of them. Jesus set the standard. Why? Because he's the authority. Jesus lived the standard. Jesus empowers the standard. But it blows me away that he lived the standard. We know that Jesus had a choice. He was 100% God, 100% man. He could have disobeyed, but he didn't. Why? We know that the Son of God lived in the Son of Man. Son of God could not sin. But the Son of Man could, but he didn't. Why? Because the fear of the Lord was on the inside of him. Come on, somebody, get that in your heart. Fear of the Lord was on the inside of him. He modeled that for us. But now, because that standard is set through his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, now we can live the standard. Because the standard lives on the inside of us. Here we said Jesus is our, he has the authority to set the standard. Here we see the spiritual principle of authority. God's plan to protect your life. God's plan to protect the integrity of his will. What is the integrity of his will? What is God's will? God's will can be boiled down to one word: relationship. He wants relationship with you. Wants relationship so bad that he sent his son to die for you. Spiritual principle of authority builds discipline. You know, you need discipline to hold to a standard. But it builds. The objective, it teaches us how to stay in position with God the Father. See, listen, watch this. When a standard is set, you got to stay in position with it. And trials and tribulations and adversities come your way to move you from your standard, to get you out of position. Then the goal is to actualize concepts for successful Christian living. So I want to give you three reasons why we need a standard. Three reasons why we need a standard. Point number one, the standard establishes my life. The standard establishes my life. See, it's the standard establishes my life. Now, in Isaiah 28, the children of Israel are in their normal pattern of disobedience to God and rebellion to him. And so the prophet, unfortunately, yes. So the prophet is speaking to Israel, and he's basically saying, listen, you made a covenant with death through your idolatry. But he brings it to their mind in Isaiah 28, 16. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, listen, he's saying I lay in Zion. Zion is just the dwelling of the Lord, the mountain of God, the seat of the government of God in the earth, right? Mount Zion. He says, there's a stone there. There's a foundation, and this foundation is sure. And this foundation, you can establish your life on this foundation. So what are we saying? Point number one, we are saying that the standard establishes my life. How? Through excellence of ministry. What are we saying? Letter A, the standard establishes my character. Letter B, the standard establishes my conduct. And letter C, the standard establishes my commitment to the faith. See, when Jesus is your standard, he'll establish your character. And then he'll go to work on your conduct. And it will begin to impact your commitment to the faith. Point number two. Standards protect my life. Standards protect my life. How? A, spiritually. B, naturally. C, y'all can fill in the blank. What is C? Ah, yes. Good job. Somebody been working on a plan to grow and develop. See, God's standard protects. Standards protect. Now go to Romans 7. We're gonna end on this third point. But see, a standard protects your life. When somebody's trying to put a godly standard in your life, they're trying to protect your life. Sometimes I look back and I say, man, oh, so-and-so was trying to put a godly standard in me. I'm so sorry I fought them the way I did. Point number one, we said that standard establishes my life. Point number two, the standard protects my life. Let me give you point number three, and you can turn to Romans 7. Romans 7. Standards expose my life or reveal my life. See, a standard will expose. How? Letter A, standards expose in my life my strengths. Letter B, standards expose my weaknesses. And letter C, standards expose my problems. See, that's why it's important to get, when you get with a standard, the standard will tell you where or if you are strong. Tell you where you're weak. And tell you really where you really got a problem. So Romans 7, I'll start reading in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. I had not known sin, but by the what? Law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now let your eyes fall down to verse 17. No, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I would do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but what's in your Bible? Sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, a standard, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying the law, right, the commandments that Moses had, that it was a standard. And when we looked into that standard, we saw how far we fell short of the standard. And then we saw that even when we had a desire to meet the standard, that there was a war going on the inside of us, because part of us wanted to ascend to the standard, but there was a part of us that said we will have no part of that. So a standard exposes. Paul is saying that the standard of the law expose my sin problem. This is why we need a standard. Why? Because a standard will establish your life, a standard will protect your life, and a standard will expose your life. Listen, you need your life exposed. The point is where it gets exposed. You don't want your life exposed to darkness. You want it exposed in the light. If you got a problem, you want it exposed in the light, not into the darkness. That's why you bring your weakness, bring your problem to the Lord. Because he's the standard. I'll close here. Standards expose gaps. And I'm going to share a very painful moment in my life. I was a new teacher teaching U.S. teaching social studies. And my school was one of the top schools in the nation for classroom innovation. Creativity. So I got into that school. I did my student teaching there. They liked me. They hired me. And I was excelling in creativity in the classroom. But the state of Virginia passed a law calling for something called standards of learning, SOLs. So the school system was shifting from basically creative classroom innovation to strict standardized testing. And I got caught in that transition early in my teaching career. My department chair changed, a new department chair came in, and everything was about test scores, test scores, test scores. And my students' test scores were the same of all of my colleagues. But my supervisor saw that I had some gaps in my historical knowledge. You see, listen, when a standard, see what happened? They were raising the standards on the children, but it had a dramatic impact on the standard of the teachers. Because if you raise the child's standard, you got to raise the teacher's standard. And I struggled. Mid-year, they pulled me out of the classroom and sat me down for the rest of that school year. I was observing other teachers. I lost my classroom. I was hurt, I was angry, I was humiliated. Sister Gullis will tell you, I wasn't a good camper at home. What happened? See, a standard was put in place and it exposed the weakness. But in that season, because my department was the best social studies department in the state of Virginia, I got to watch the best of the best. And during that time, the Lord taught me how to teach. I didn't understand it then, but even when God was working on me then, he had you in mind. He was preparing me to teach you. But it was a painful time. But God did something on the inside of me. And I learned a lesson about standards. And at the end of that process, my principal and the assistant principal, when they sat me down, They said to me, we know this has been a difficult process, but they said, you have been an absolute gentleman, right? Other people got real ugly. Now, I was getting ugly, it was just at home. I can't toot my horn. What happened? While God was working a higher standard in me, He was also revealing a standard to them. Sometimes God will strip you down to realign you to the standard. When He does, don't fight Him. When He does, don't cuss folk out in your heart. In my 28, 29 year old mind, I called it racism, I called it this, I called it that. And listen, years later, after I left the school to go into the ministry, I was working across the state, had grant money for fatherhood programs that were going into schools. I went back to the same school and was able to put thousands of dollars into that school for young African American men at that school. What was happening? See, God was protecting something that He was going to do later. God's working on you now. And listen, allow the word to expose you where you are. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who is your standard, and allow Him to empower you to become one with the standard. Bow your heads as we close.